comes from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, verses 7 through 16, which is found on page 345 of your Bible. This is the story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. Listen for the word of God to you. Then the word of the Lord came to him, that being Elijah the prophet, and it said, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gates of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hands." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you said. But first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that had been spoken by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you at the end of our weeks, tired and empty. And we ask, Lord, that you would teach us to empty ourselves so that you may fill us. Lord, any words that I say that are not of your will, I ask that they fall to the ground and be forgotten, but whatever I say that is of your will, I ask that embed in hearts and bear good fruit. Lord, let me not hinder your word, but feed your sheep. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've come to Paul's next part of 1 Corinthians 13, Paul's statement, "Love does not insist on its own way." Love is not self-seeking. So what is the opposite of being self-seeking? And Paul tells us in the book of Philippians that the opposite of being self-seeking is what you learned when you were a child in Sunday school. The correct answer is Jesus. Often the simplest answer is the correct one, and the correct answer is Jesus. And what he gives us today is one of the earliest hymns in the church. If you like classical music, Paul is quoting a hymn here, and this is one of Paul's earliest letters. So this hymn, it goes back all the way to the beginning. Jesus, who had equality with God, he didn't grasp it, but he let it go, and he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, being obedient unto the point of death. And then God highly exalted him. The message today is simple. Love empties itself, and when love empties itself, God creates something new. We're talking about the mystery of creation. We're talking about the mystery of the incarnation. And Jesus did not decide to come down and help us like Captain Kirk from Star Trek. He didn't beam down battle ready. He came as a baby, as an infant. He was born like any of us, and he was helpless like any of us. He wasn't half man or half God. He was fully man and fully God. And the text suggests that God created an entirely new body, an entirely new person in Mary's womb. They didn't know about genetics back then, but he doesn't necessarily have to be genetically related to Mary. It was an entirely new creation because love empties itself. And when love empties itself, God creates something new. Well, that's all good, Pastor. Well, love emptying itself and all of that. But I ain't God. I can't create stuff out of nothing. How does this apply to my life? I've been thinking really hard about that over the past few weeks, and what has been on my heart are single parents, particularly single moms. Now, there are a lot of good single dads out there, and we have to give them credit, but the majority of single parents I find in culture tend to be single mothers. And we have a lot of elders in our church, a lot of folks in our church who, if you don't know, work really hard and give a lot of their time and sacrifice for this church. And they humble me. But the sacrifice of some of our single mothers in this church, when they're already working, take care of one or more kids, and then give what little time they have left here, when I feel empty, that gives me courage press in. I asked one of my single mother friends if she knew of any resources to help single parents, to help single mothers, to encourage them, and she was part of a single mother's ministry, and she couldn't think of any books. And I thought to myself, is there a single mom in the Bible? I mean, Mary was a teenage mom. Joseph, not super supportive of the incarnation in the beginning, tried to divorce her. But an angel set him straight. But then I remembered the widow at Zarephath, one of the well-known single moms in the Bible. One of the context of this is that Elijah is a prophet, and he has prophesied against King Ahab, who is not obeying the Lord. And he says a drought is coming, and it's going to last for years. God sends him to a widow to be fed, which is the ultimate irony because, as we learned a couple of weeks ago in the sermon called Love is Kind, the Hebrew word for widow means empty. God sends a prophet to someone who everyone else thinks is empty to be fed. And he's setting up a miracle. He's setting up a new hope. But first, this widow must learn to empty herself. How do we empty ourselves? Well, I have 2 points. I don't have an outline today because I've been preparing for a funeral tomorrow. But 2 points. We believe, we grieve, and then we believe. We grieve, and then we believe. You know, when I was looking at this text, I've looked at this text before, and I sort of thought the widow is a bit of a Debbie Downer. You know, she was not showing her faith. She was doubting God. She was not being positive. But we've been studying grief this week. In my Wednesday night Bible study on trust and what happens when trust is broken in relationships, we talked about grief. In our Thursday night grief share, we talked about the grief of losing a loved one to death. John Townsend, author of the book Beyond Boundaries, defines grief as letting go of what you can't keep. Grief as letting go of what you can't keep. And it caused me to see the widow differently. And maybe what God is doing with the widow is not trying to torment her, but trying to give her an opportunity to grieve. Because her husband has died, and she has a son, and she wants to be strong for him, and she doesn't want to cry in front of him because she is all he has, and she hasn't had an opportunity to grieve, and everyone in this society ignores her because she's a widow. But along comes Elijah the prophet, And he allows her to say the truth. I'm down to my last meal, and I don't know what I'm going to do after that. He allows her to open up and to grieve. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes says this about grieving. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of the face, the heart is made glad. We're not told what this widow's expression was, but we can assume after she says, I'm making my last meal, that tears started flowing from her eyes and sorrow started emptying from her heart. That she was finally given an opportunity to grieve in this situation, to let go of that. We talk a lot about love in music, especially country music. And generally, when we're talking about losing love, there are two types of songs. There's the protest song, which says, baby, don't leave me. I'll make my changes. And then there's the I'm moving on song, which ironically, if you're singing a song about someone, you're not really moving on, and it tends to involve property damage to cars at some point, I understand. But neither of those songs are grieving, because it's not acknowledging that there was good in the relationship and there was bad in the relationship, and just because we didn't see the bad doesn't make us ignorant. It just makes us human. Just because we can't give our child something doesn't make us bad parents. It just makes us human, because even if this woman was a queen, she wouldn't be able to provide for all her child's happiness. She has to trust God to provide for her child's happiness. And when she grieves, she lets go. She's not letting go of hope, because she didn't have hope before. She's just letting go of control. Next, we need to believe. Once we grieve, then we need to believe. And in grief share, we were talking a lot about faith and what it means to have faith during hard times. And what they said in grief share means, it just means taking the next step. And notice what Elijah asked this widow to do. He doesn't ask her to walk on water. He doesn't ask her to raise the dead or scale a mountain. All he asks her to do is make a meal. And it's a hard meal to make, but it's something she can do. And she had the faith to take the next step, to trust a stranger, to get up again, and to make a meal. And when she grieved, and when she believed, a miracle broke out, not just to provide for her for a week, but provide for her for days on end, a well that did not run dry in the drought, because she was able to take the next step. It's not about the amount of faith we have. It's the type of faith we have. Jesus says, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move that mountain. And that faith is not saying, I know I'm going to get back to where I was. It's just saying, I'm willing. I'm willing to take the next step. Jesus, he emptied himself. Took on the form of a servant and created something new. The widow, she emptied herself and created something new. And if you are feeling empty today, I'm telling you, there's hope. That you are on the verge of a miracle, of a new creation. If you press in, if you let go, let the tears flow, because the scriptures tell us that God is love, and love empties itself. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith by saying the words found